Scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Kings, the second chapter, verses 9 through 12. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Now it came about when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit upon me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it came about as they were going along and talking, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen," and he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces.
I'm certainly glad you had one more song after "Ready to Suffer," Joel. Making a decision to change or to do something is nice, but it's usually not enough. You need to have the ability to see it through to the end and not quit. Have you ever noticed in life that a good start isn't always enough? Now, getting a good start is important, because if you don't get a good start, the chances of you finishing strong are not that good. But of the two, finishing strong is more important. You can always overcome a bad start, you cannot overcome a bad finish. You finish bad, you lose. You think of people like Solomon, who had everything. And he was given the opportunity to ask God for anything, and he asked for the best possible thing, wisdom. Solomon was rich. Solomon was famous, and yes, Solomon had many wives. I thought he asked for wisdom. But as great as his beginning was as king, his ending seemed to lack luster at best and spiritually drained at worst. Most people fail in keeping their New Year's resolutions. They had a good start, but a lot of folks finish poorly. But today I want to talk about some people who finished life well. Finished with heaven as the goal line, and they crossed it with the hand of God at work in their lives. This morning we're going to look at just a few biblical accounts of those whose lives ended well and see if we can draw something from each one to help us in our daily walk. The life of the prophet Elijah is one that is filled with God. Most say that Elijah was the quintessential prophet. And while he was not the first to prophesy, he was, if you will, the father of the prophets. His interaction with Ahab and Jezebel is stuff that gets a lot of people's spiritual life excited. Here was a man who stood up to two of the worst people in biblical history, a weak but sinful king and a powerful evil queen. And it was Elijah that God used to bring Israel back to its senses. You know, for over 3 years it did not rain. 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, it reads, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, according to my word." And for the next 3 years, the people suffered. But their suffering was for a purpose. See, these people, they needed to remember something. And at the end of that time, 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 19 through 40, Elijah calls the prophets of Baal to meet him on Mount Carmel. This was going to be a spiritual showdown. Here these false spiritual men cried out to their false god and got no answer. And they cried out the harder, and they cut themselves and bled themselves, and still no answer. And then after a while, it was Elijah's turn, and he repaired the altar of the Lord according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. And he made an offering on it. And there he commanded them to start bringing in cruses of water. And he soaked this altar and the sacrifice with so much water that it filled the trenches around that altar. Now, mindful, this was precious water. It still has not rained. And then Elijah, in verses 36 and 37, he spoke these words. "Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their heart back again." After he spoke these words, fire came down from heaven, and it not only consumed the burnt offering, but it also consumed the altar and all the water that was in it. It got the results that Elijah had spoke up in verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord is God, the Lord, He is the God." The scripture that Charles read this morning is the ending of the earthly life of Elijah. But one of his students, Elisha, he followed Elijah around, knowing that soon Elijah's time would come to an end. The lesson that I want us to take home comes right after the account and sets up Elijah for his homecoming with God. 1 Kings chapter 19. The verses are in 11 through 18. As Elijah hears God speak in a small voice, Elijah is feeling sorry for himself. But God was not done with Elijah just yet. Listen to what the scriptures say. He said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so that when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out, and he stood in the entrance to the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah said, I am very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword. And I am the only one left. And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, will you anoint over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abba-Mehiloah, you will anoint to be the prophet in your room. And it shall come to pass that he that shall escape the sword of Jehu will Elisha kill. Yet I have left you 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that did not kiss him. You know, sometimes we think that we have done all that we can do for the Lord, that our glory days are over, that the power that we once had seems to have gone quiet within us. But my point is God's not done with you yet. No matter what's happening in your life, part of your job is to get the next generation ready for God to be able to work in them the way that God has worked in you. You have a mission. We have a mission that affects the children of our congregation. We have a calling that affects our family. We have a legacy that needs to be seen before our homecoming with the Lord. Don't quit living just because you're tired, afraid, or lonely. God's not done with you yet. One of the greatest men this world has ever been blessed to know is Peter. This is the disciple that Jesus named from Simon to Peter, a rock, the man who walked on water, a man who was with Jesus when he was transfigured, a man who was passionate for Jesus. Peter was not perfect. We all know that he denied Jesus 3 times the day of the crucifixion. We also know that he once turned his back on Gentile Christians when the pressure was on him. And yet, of all the accounts that we could use to help us see how to finish well, it is one of the traditions speak of and that the Bible gives a hint of. John 21. After Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? After that statement, there's a passage of Scripture that oftentimes gets overlooked. And it's verses 18 through 19. Now Jesus, he says to Peter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you become old, you will stretch forth your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he spoke, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he spoke this, he said to him, "Follow me." Here is a truth. Jesus doesn't just give a second chance. Jesus offers us every chance to follow him. It's not a matter of if you can repent, but will you repent? Jesus saw the failure of Peter. He told him that he would deny him three times. This is the same Jesus who saw the end of Peter's life as one that would end in martyrdom. But the important part of these verses is not that Peter would be martyred, but that he would glorify God. No matter how far you've gone, you only have one turn coming home. When you come home, come with so much zeal that your life and your death speak of the glory of God. Be that Christian that other Christians talk about as one who loves deeply, lives passionately, and longs for the coming of Jesus. The man that the Bible gives us the most about in bringing the message of salvation to the Gentiles is Paul. Without Paul, the New Testament would be very short. Most of the missionary journeys in the book of Acts is recorded about Paul's actions. His many letters to churches and to people help us see that the passion that Paul had of seeing the world come to know the salvation that comes by the grace of Christ. But you know something? Paul never forgot his past. Paul was a person who worked hard in his early life to be the best Jew he knew how to be. He was trained by the best, and he had a mind like few others. And yet, the harm that he did to Christians in the early church caused him to see himself as the chief of sinners. Paul made it his mission in life to be a slave to Christ. He would go and do where others ran away. He faced hardship. He faced persecutions because he wanted people to be saved. And he, just like Peter, had a mission to help the next generation take the leadership roles. One young man that Paul mentored was Timothy, a man that Paul knew since he was a boy. Paul may not have had the best start, but Paul finished well. Believing that his life would end before Jesus had come again, knowing that he was about to be taken by the leaders of Rome, He had a final statement to Timothy that we can leave here. It is a statement that we all know very well in 2 Timothy 4, in verses 6 through 8. Paul said, "For now I am ready to be offered. The time is at hand for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And so there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that also love his appearing." Paul is not bragging about his ministry, but Paul is confident that he can die with God taking him home. What he wants Timothy to know, what he wants us to know, is that this promise of the crown of righteousness is for all who've loved his appearing. So do you? Do you love that Jesus came to this earth, died and rose again, so that you can bask in the grace of salvation? Do you love and long for Jesus to come again, because that great day of judgment is not one that you fear, but one that you trust? Finish well. No matter what your start has been, no matter where you are on the journey of life right now, you have the opportunity to finish well. If you are not a child of God, start your race this day. Start it this day. Through repentance, confession, and baptism, you can begin this race with a tremendously great start. You will start with a clean slate, brand new running shoes, if you will, ready to run the race of life. And together, we will all work with you to finish well. And you can also help us to finish well also. Do not delay. Make it today. And maybe you are a child of God, and maybe the cares of this world has worn you down. Don't give up. Don't stop. If these cares have caused you to doubt God, maybe even to curse God, you can come back from that. You can repent of those things, and you can finish well. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, we pray that you will come as together we stand and we sing.